the Lord will pour out his glory on those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You truly shall be filled. Do you not know, says the Lord, that I reward those who diligently seek me? I welcome those who come to me. I touch those who turn to me. Those who answer my call will be a blessing to all. So pursue me like the deer pursues water. Run to me, turn to me, come to me, and I will welcome you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're citizens of this country. It has privileges, benefits, but we're also citizens of a kingdom. You know, Christianity is not a democracy, it's not a republic, it's not a dictatorship, but it's a kingdom. And tonight, we're going to begin a series that being a citizen of God's kingdom, how to rule and reign on earth. Say, God designed me and called me and created me to rule and to reign right here, right now. He has given us the power and the strength that we need to do just that. We talked about heaven coming down. Heaven is here. If you read Deuteronomy, it talks about Deuteronomy chapter 11 talks about how to have days of heaven on earth. Do you know that even though we're on earth, we are connected to heaven? We have the ability to communicate with heaven. We can go into God's throne spiritually. Hebrews 4 says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace when you need it or in the time of need. Amen. So what a privilege it is to go before the throne. All you need to do is know Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can usher you into that holy place, the most holy place. Hallelujah. Don't just reserve your praise just for church or church services. You can enter into his presence right from home, while you're driving in your car, while you're washing the dishes, while you're resting on the couch or meditating, whatever you're doing. Why? Because we have a connection to heaven. When you're connected to Christ, you're connected to heaven. A divine connection. You have sonship, and that includes daughters. And we want to thank the people if you're following us on Facebook. It's a privilege to join us. You're going to be blessed by this message tonight. Whew, it's been stirring in my heart. Man. So, how many want to know how to rule and reign on earth? All right? God has a kingdom, a rule, a royal power. And it's You might call it divine administration. Okay? Or God's royal domain. God has a domain name. Right? If you're into the website, every website has a domain name. And you purchase the rights to your domain name. It allows you access on the web through a server or a host company. One person called it a theocratic commonwealth. It's the universe is subject to God's sway. You can go this way or that way. It's the perfect order of things which Jesus came to establish when he left heaven. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, they're all pretty much the same thing. What you're going to receive tonight is you're going to receive revelation. Do you know that when people know God, they can go from knowing nothing to knowing something just like that? God can download a truth to someone who would otherwise not know that truth, but once God downloads that truth then becomes a reality to whoever he shows it to. So God's going to reveal truth to us tonight, and he wants us to take ownership of that truth. Are you ready to take ownership? It won't cost you anything. It'll just exchange your faith. All right? Matthew chapter 16. And let's go down to verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You know, that's an interesting question. If you were to go out these walls and do an interview and say, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" you'd probably get a wide variety of answers. This, that, or the other. Well, guess what? It was the same thing in Jesus' day. Notice, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" Verse 14, his disciples responded by saying, "Some say that you are John the Baptist." Well, Jesus wasn't John because that was his cousin, who was 6 months older than him. "Some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Okay, that's the opinion of the majority. But God is not concerned about the majority. He's concerned about the individual. Then he goes on to say, he brings it down to where we are. "Who do you say that I am?" Or you could say it this way, "Who am I to you?" Who am I? See, if you want to operate in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to know some things about the king. Because the kingdom, it revolves around the king. The king is the center, the masterpiece of the kingdom. You can't have a kingdom without a king, and wherever the king is, his kingdom is. Man, this is like rich, sumptuous, delicious food. Then, verse 16, one of his disciples, who wouldn't necessarily know this, but it was just downloaded to him on the spot, Peter. It has to be Peter, right? The impulsive, action-oriented Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven." In other words, Jesus was saying, Peter, you didn't go to school to learn this. You didn't study this because flesh and blood did not show you this, but my Father which is in heaven. Notice, Peter had a connection to heaven. He received information from heaven that he didn't know prior to this moment. See, when you need help, when you need strength, you can get a download from heaven in the moment. Verse 18, "And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock we will build my church." Now, Jesus did not build his church on Peter. When you get to heaven, you are not going to find Peter standing at the gates waiting to check you in. Okay? I know we make jokes about that, and that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But God is going to build his church on the revelation of who the king is. Those who know who the king is are going to have the rights and the privileges to operate in the kingdom effectively. And Jesus reveals himself to us. Verse 19, "And I will give you the keys of the" what? The kingdom. Did you know the kingdom has keys? Did you know that God wants to give you? Notice the desire. He wants to say, God wants to give me keys to the kingdom. Keys are simply authority. Now, I'm not going to go into the keys tonight. I want to focus on the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Okay? The keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He uses contractual terms. How many has ever entered into a mortgage? Right? You were bound by that mortgage, weren't you? Now, they would give you 3 days to rescind that mortgage. But after 3 days, you are locked into that mortgage, aren't you? And until that mortgage is paid off, you are bound by the terms. You have to pay this amount at such and such a time. And if you're late, you get such and such a penalty, right? You're bound by those terms. But the same thing is true that when something in this world binds you, the word can come along and loose you. Okay? But we're not going to focus on binding and loosening either. All right? I want to get this kingdom down. See, God wants his kingdom to operate on earth as it is in heaven. He works by revealing truth to people who believe him. The way that God's kingdom operates, he reveals truth to individuals. What individuals? Those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who are seeking him, those who are open to him, those who want to know him. If you want to know him, if you're open to him, if you're seeking him, if you hunger for him, then you are qualified to receive truth. And therefore, you are qualified to operate in the kingdom. Okay? See, in order for you to operate in the kingdom, you must know who Jesus is for yourself. You remember when Jesus talked to the woman at the well? And she asked him, "Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well?" And You know, he said, well, if you drink from that water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink from the water that I give you, you'll never thirst. You'll be fully satisfied. And she wanted this water. And she said, you know, we heard that there's a Messiah. And he said, I am he, right? Then the woman went and told the townspeople, and half the town came out. Okay? And they came out based on her testimony. But when they heard Jesus for themselves, they said, we came out because of your testimony, but now that we've heard him for ourselves. See, you've got to have a personal knowledge of who Jesus is. Remember the sons of Sceva? You know the sons of Sceva? Acts 16. They went to cast out a devil, and they said, I adjure you to come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul knows. They did not know Jesus themselves. And they were trying to do something that they weren't authorized to do because they lacked knowledge. And what happened? The demon-possessed man whooped seven brothers and sent them home naked. Because the demon said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? They weren't even known by the demons, let alone Jesus. I mean, they did not know Jesus personally. So, to operate in this kingdom, we need to know Jesus. God's kingdom is based on relationship. Okay? Peter received a revelation from the Father, the highest authority. God revealed Jesus as the Messiah, the Anointed One, and the Son of the Living God. He is the Christ. He is the Anointed One. What do you think you get if you know the Anointed One? You get anointing. Ha ha. Woo! Jesus will smear the anointing on you. He'll cover you like your mama covered you with Vicks when you coughed. Right? She would smear that Vicks on your chest and on your back and on your feet. And you'd go to bed smelling like menthol. So Peter received a revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, the one came, the one to save, the Christ, the Son of the Living God, downloaded from the Father on high. Okay? Here's what John Wesley said. I really like this, and this fits. Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God. And I care not whether they be clergymen or laymen, they alone will shake the gates of hell and set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. Do we got some men like that today who fear nothing but sin but want nothing but God? Listen, when you go after God like that, you can shake nations. So, Peter had this revelation. He had insight into the kingdom. And as a result, verse 17, it tells us, Jesus said, blessed are you. Peter was blessed to have been given this information. Do you know when God reveals truth to you, you're blessed? Do you know how blessed you really are with the truth that you know? Do you know how blessed we really are with the truth that we possess? The truth that's at our fingertips? What are we doing with the truth we know? Are we just storing it up? Oh yeah, there's my truth trophy case. And these are all the truths that I've learned of 30 years being in church. Look at my case of truth. Listen, truth doesn't belong in a case. It's given to you to share with someone else. We better be about the business of sharing truth with others. Because there's a whole, we live in a world that is full of darkness that don't know the truth. We go to schools of people, packed full of people that don't know the truth. And God gives people just like you and I, He gives us truth. He gives us insight to help someone who doesn't know the truth. Why? As I said last week, we are God's agents. Whether or not you are employed in God's kingdom, you work for a rich king. His retirement plan is out of this world. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters underneath. All the gold and silver is his. So Peter was blessed to have this information. This revelation came from heaven. And Jesus is the rock of our salvation, and the revelation of who He is the rock of His kingdom. Let me say that again. Told you this is going to be deep tonight. Jesus is the rock of our salvation, but revelation is the rock of His kingdom. God builds His kingdom on revelation. Not the book, but how He reveals truth, how He reveals Himself. Isn't that why God gave us His Word? He gave us His Word to reveal Himself, didn't He? This is the primary way that God reveals Himself. Why? God desires to be known. He wants to be known. Because knowing Him is salvation, isn't it? John 17. Okay? Now, the church. Everybody say the church. Look at your neighbor and say, that's me and you. That's us together, okay? Church is not this building. This is where the church meets. The church is God's occupying force that represents His kingdom. God set up an organization on earth called the church. It's not an organization. It's a living organization. It's a living organism. It's got a head. It's got feet. It's got hands. It's got a body. It's a living organism. It's called the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body of Christ. All right? So the church is God's occupying force that represents His kingdom on earth. The church is here. You and I are here to enforce the Lord's rule and exercise His authority. I've given you power to cast out devils. Right? Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Freely you have received. Freely give. God gave His commission to the believers. All authority in heaven and earth is mine. Now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we got to exercise His authority and dominion in this world. We dominate by having faith in His name, His power, and revealed truth. Think of the excitement that you had the first time that you realized that God wants you healed. And you got healed. Think of the excitement that you had when you realized that God has forgiven you and you got saved. Do you remember when you got saved? I remember when I got saved. I was 12 years old. I'm 47 now. But that moment, that experience is still in the forefront of my mind. It was so powerful, so incredible, so dramatic. Now, it may not have been that way for you, but that's how it was for me. It was unforgettable. But see, I encountered truth. And that truth changed my life. It changed the course of my life. It was revealed truth. Now, Jesus is willing to give you authority. I give you the keys of the kingdom. He's willing to give you authority to partner with Him to do His work in this world. Say, I'm God's partner. He wants us to be His partners, to partner with Him and to get the gospel of the kingdom out into this world. Since VCF started putting their messages online. We've had what, 40,000 downloads and 31,000 listen tos. So that's since about 2007. We put all of our messages online on our website for free, and we've had 31,000 people listen to them. I actually had calls from other countries. I had a call from a pastor from the Philippines and said, I heard your message online, and I'm going to preach it to my congregation in the Philippines. I said, go for it. So Jesus, he's willing to give you keys or authority to rule, to reign, to lay a foundation of power, and to establish his realm. We're here to establish his realm. Okay? Now, this word kingdom means royalty, rule, reign. It means a king. Okay? Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to see how Luke chapter 1 gives us a beautiful picture of how the kingdom gets activated right now. Luke chapter 1. And let's start with verse 26. Okay? An angel was sent by who? Who sent the angel? God sent the angel. Who gave Peter the revelation? God. Okay? God sent an angel was sent by God, revealed truth, activates the purpose of his kingdom. All right? God needed truth to be revealed to a descendant of David for his kingdom's sake. He needed a descendant of David, a woman, who could receive truth so that God could set up his kingdom on earth. Okay? Mary was a descendant of David, right? So was Joseph. All right? The angel Gabriel was sent to Mary, a descendant of David. Why a descendant of David? David represents the righteous line. God needed a righteous family line for the Savior to come through. He couldn't come through a contaminated line. He had to come through a righteous line, people who had a heart after God. And look how many generations it took. Do you realize it got down to 8 people in Noah's day? Think about that. Righteous line was down to 8 people in Noah's day. Okay? So, Gabriel was sent to Mary. He told her to rejoice. You know, when God tells you to rejoice, what should you do? Woo! When God tells you to rejoice, he gives you the power to rejoice. All right? Then he said that she was highly favored. Okay? Did you know that God favors you? He favors people who favor his kingdom. Say, God favors people who favors his kingdom. Do you favor his kingdom? Then God favors you. All right? Mary was highly favored. And the angel said, the Lord is with her. Okay? She was blessed, and she found favor with God. Very similar to what Jesus told Peter. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Blessed are you, Mary. Why? Because you found favor with God. Do you know how to find favor? I gave it to you in the beginning. You know where to find favor? Where is the place that you look to find favor? At the throne room. Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly before the throne of grace or favor that you might find mercy or obtain mercy and find grace or favor. You can find favor at God's throne. So if you go to God's throne, you're going to get favor. God's got party favorites. Anybody who comes to his party gets a favor. I'm having fun tonight. Verse 31. Mary was told to do three things. Everybody say three things. You only need three things to activate God's kingdom. Number one, she was told to conceive. What was she to conceive? She was to conceive the word in her heart, in her womb, on the inside of her. All right? Number two, she was told to bring forth. What is conceived in you has to be brought forth. Right? What do you call something that's conceived and not brought forth? Aborted. Or miscarried. Right? And then thirdly, she was told to call him something. Call him Jesus. Say, God wants me to conceive. He wants me to bring forth. And he wants me to call. See, calling is exercising authority. Call those things that be not as what? Though they are. Right? Call your elbow with a bump on it a healed elbow. Call your bones that ache strong bones. Call your weak body a strong body. Let the weak say, I'm what? You're calling. What are you doing when you're doing that? You're exercising authority that comes from heaven. You're enacting the principles of the kingdom. Oh, this is good. I can barely contain myself. To work with God's kingdom, you must conceive. What does that mean? You must hear his word. You must let it abide in your heart. And you must bring forth. What does that mean? To act it out. You hear the word. You let it get in your heart, and you act it out. You conceive, you bring forth. I mean, you conceive, you bring forth, and then you call. Yes. Three things to operate in God's kingdom. You must call the thing that you conceived and are bringing forth what the Lord tells you to call it. Call his name Jesus. Call yourself healed. Call yourself whole. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that what the Bible says? Verse 32. Oh, wait. God's kingdom is set up, running. It's operating and it's already taking effect. But this is a picture of how you and I can tap in to the kingdom that's here. How many's ever rode the ride at Chocolate World? If you've never rode the ride at Chocolate World, they have a circular floor. And that circular floor moves slowly. And you've got a certain amount of time to get from the stairs into your car, right? Because the cars are moving, but they're moving slowly. It gives you an opportunity to get in, right? But if you want to enjoy the ride, you just have to get in the car. If you want to enjoy the kingdom, you just have to get in the flow. You got to get in the flow, okay? Verse 32. The angel said, Jesus will be what? Great. Everybody say great. Everything that God does is great. God's kingdom is great. His principles are great. His healing is great. His provision is great. His deliverance is great. Okay? And he will be called the son of who? The highest. Can you get any higher than Jesus? His name is higher than any other name. Hallelujah. His name is greater than cancer. His name is greater than diabetes. His name is greater than poverty. Can you say amen? The Lord God will give him what? The throne. Does the throne represent a kingdom? All because Mary conceived, brought forth, and called. She conceived, she brought forth, and called, and God's kingdom was activated on the earth. Ho, ho, ho. Verse 33. What's he going to do over the house of Jacob? He's going to rain, not a downpour, but rule. He's going to reign over the house. Amen? And how long is his kingdom going to be? Of his kingdom, there'll be no end. We're going to have a party for eternity. A Holy Ghost party. God's kingdom, when you get into the flow of kingdom, it doesn't stop. When you get into the flow of the kingdom, it'll take you over to the other side. See, the Israelites, they needed to go to Canaan. But what was in the way was the Jordan River. And the Jordan River was at flood stage. But once they got into the flow, God made a way for them to go. Once you get into the flow, how did they get into the flow? The priests put their foot in the water, carrying the ark, which represented the presence of God. And guess what? We don't have an ark now. You are the ark. What? Don't you know that you're the temple of who? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the ark. You are the container of God on earth. And when there's an obstacle in your way, you just got to get into the flow and that obstacle will go. Put your, just the tip of your toe. Boop. The water of the Jordan dried up at flood stage. And it enabled them to cross over into the promises of God. Okay, verse 35. Here's the mechanics of how the kingdom works. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He's the kingdom agent. You might say the Holy Spirit is the chief of staff. I heard that from a godly woman one time, my wife. She came up with that revelation, how the Holy Spirit is our chief of staff. What does the chief of staff do? He organizes everything that goes on in the White House. From employees to problem solving to decision making. He's the chief of staff. We have a chief of staff. He's the Holy Spirit. How the kingdom works, the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Woo! This word come upon, it means to influence. It means to supervene. It means to arrive. Okay? Then, another working of the kingdom, he said, the power of the highest will overshadow you. Do you know what this word overshadow means? I didn't know what it meant until tonight. You're gonna like this. The word overshadow means to envelop in a haze of brilliancy. It means to come in contact with the glory of God, and the glory of God just envelops you. It sucks you in. And it surrounds you. So the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. These are the mechanics of the kingdom. The Holy One is to be born, to be brought forth, will be called what? The Son of God. Didn't Peter have a revelation? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had a revelation that Jesus was God, that Jesus was divine, that Jesus was deity. See, and you might think it's crazy, but with God, nothing's impossible. Say, with God, nothing is impossible. And here's the thing. Mary said, behold, the handmaiden or the maidservant of the Lord. She submitted wholeheartedly to the kingdom purpose. Let it be unto me according to your word. When she said that, the deal was done. The kingdom of God was activated. And it started operating with something in her womb. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I got something on the inside, working on the outside. You got something on the inside? It's called the Holy Spirit. God works from the inside out, not the outside in. Okay? This word maidservant, it's the word doula. It means a female slave, involuntary or voluntary. It means subjection or subservancy. It means a bond servant. In other words, Mary said, let the kingdom have its way. I'm not going to limit it. I'm not going to stop it. I'm not going to prevent it. In other words, I'm going to flow with it. I'm going to work with it. I accept it. I receive it. It's mine. She took ownership of letting the kingdom pass through her. And we know the story. She brought forth a son that she received in her inside of her, and she called him Jesus. She conceived, she brought forth, and she called, and she operated in the kingdom. And just like Mary, you can conceive, you can bring forth, and you can call whatever it is you need. But see, you can't call it without conceiving it. And you can't call it without bringing it forth. You've got to go through the process of conception. And guess what? Between conception and bringing it forth, there's a period of time. In Mary's case, it was 9 months. 9 months, she had to maintain that which was on the inside of her. 9 months. She carried it. She nurtured it. She fed it. Oh, she loved it. She probably spoke to it. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be calling it an it. It was him. It was a son. But you see what I'm saying? So here's what we're going to learn in this series. Okay? We're going to see how near the kingdom is. We're going to see how to enter into the kingdom. We're going to see how to possess the kingdom. We're going to see how to seek the kingdom. We're going to understand the message of the kingdom. You know, the kingdom has a message. We're going to experience the power of the kingdom. We're going to see the greatness of the kingdom. We're going to find out what the reward of the kingdom is. And finally, we're going to talk about the parables of the kingdom. There are several parables that the Bible gives us about the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. But you know what? Tonight, you need to do 3 things. You need to conceive. You need to hear. You need to receive it in your heart. And you need to nurture it so that you can bring it forth. And then once you bring it forth, you can call it what it is. If it's a healing, you need to hear the word on healing. You need to get a word specific to you, get it inside of you, and you need to nurture it. You need to feed it. You need to carry it and then bring forth healing. And then when it comes forth, you say, I am healed. Amen. Now, you can do that. We can enter into the kingdom. We can exercise the kingdom right now. It can begin right now tonight. Amen? Let me pray with our friends on Facebook. Father, I'm so grateful that they've listened to this word. to conceive, to bring forth, and to call. I pray, Father, that you activate the word in them and they do just that. Whatever it is you need, find a word on it, conceive it, bring it forth, and call it, and you shall have it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, God wants to help you tonight to conceive, to bring forth. Maybe you need to conceive something, but maybe you're in the bringing forth stage and you just need strength to nurture it, to carry it out, to walk it through. Or maybe you just need to start calling it. Decree a thing, right? The Bible says, decree a thing and it shall be. Decree a thing. Speak to the mountain. Amen. Speak to the fig tree. Speak to the problem. And guess what? The kingdom will begin to be activated for your situation right where you are. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Go and tell people the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here, right now. But you got to participate in the kingdom. You can't just sit there and wait for the kingdom. You got to get up and participate. You got to hear the word. You got to conceive it. You got to bring it forth. And you got to call it. Those three simple things will release the power of the kingdom on your behalf. And when you call it, there's great joy. Amen? So if you're at the conception stage, if you're at the bringing forth stage, or if you're at the calling stage, doesn't matter. If you feel like you need a touch from the anointing, God is calling you right now, come forward in Jesus' name.